to note my email address and maybe write it down. And if you want me to send you more information, I've actually got some much longer PowerPoints of the all survey and the results, because I'll skip over quite a lot of it tonight. So please chase me up afterwards and I can send you more information. If you haven't seen it before, the results, you can easily get them. I'll just try and put it up on the website now. If you, all of the results are actually available from free from the ABS website. Can everybody see the ABS website? Good. So if you just go to the ABS website and you can search for the number 4228.0, you'll come up with all of the publications related to the survey, and you can download those. The one that I guess is the most interest is the one called the summary. The user guide's a bit of background information. But if you want some shorter snapshots, I've got other sort of versions of some of the information, so please email me and I can send you some of that information. But I'll go back to the PowerPoint, and I hope... All right, so for tonight what I want to do is hopefully everybody sort of, as you've come into Literacy Live, you've introduced yourselves. What I want to have a quick, the first bit is to give you a little bit of background about the survey, what was measured and how it was, the information was collected. Then have a bit of discussion after that, and then have a look at the levels, because it's pretty important to know what level 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 means. Have a look at some of the items, and because I was involved in the development, I can actually show you some of the numeracy items, which aren't public, so I'm not officially supposed to be sharing these with you, but I think unless you know what the sort of levels are about, the results are pretty pointless. And then I want to show you, I guess, the interesting stuff, which is some of the results. So after each section, I'll stop and hopefully you can ask some questions and we can have a discussion between the group. So some background information. Some of you might have been aware that there was the IELTS survey, the International Adult Literacy Survey, which was run in Australia 10 years ago. The new survey, the Adult Literacy and Life Skills Survey, was an expansion on the original survey, so it just doesn't survey literally appropriate for remote Indigenous adults. And secondly, the expense of actually ABS getting out into remote areas and surveying them was going to add a lot of money onto the survey. So it includes metropolitan Indigenous adults, but not remote Indigenous adults. And it's an international survey that's sort of under the auspices of the OECD. The All survey did survey two literacies that are directly comparable with the 1996 survey, so we can do some comparisons, and that was for prose literacy and document literacy. And there were three new measures that weren't measured previously, and one was numeracy, which was the one that I was involved in helping to develop. There was problem solving, which is quite a complex tool, if you like, and you'll note that I don't actually talk about the problem solving results. I feel that it's a fairly culturally biased measure, and the results are, if you look at them in raw statistics, pretty disastrous, but I think that's probably a result of the sorts of questions that are asked. And the last one, which I think is quite interesting, is the health literacy, which is an analysis of all of the literacy and numeracy items that relate to health-related issues such as drugs and alcohol, medicine, health and well-being and stuff like that. So that's very interesting too. So what was measured? The tasks in it's fundamentally a test, were based on real life things. So most of the things are not things that are just made up. They're actually based on real articles that really appeared in newspapers, magazines that exist on medicine packets and so on and so forth. So they're simulated, obviously, they're not real, but respondents are actually given a sort of fake little newspaper and asked to answer questions about those. It's an international survey, so it has to be able to be translated into different languages, and you can actually change some of the information in the text in order to meet those national requirements. And for numeracy, people were able to use a ruler and a calculator, so they actually had to do some measurement. I guess one of the interesting things to me when I got involved with this was that it wasn't just like everybody sitting down with the same test and doing the same question. So what happens initially too is that because some respondents, it's all random sample, some respondents may not be able to answer any of the questions. You don't want them sitting there wasting their time. So there's a screening booklet which has got 6 level 1 items, some prose, document and numeracy tasks, and I'll show you some of those. As well as that, all of the respondents answer nearly 300 questions about themselves, and that's the normal socio-demographic information about their age, their family size, where they work, all of that sort of stuff, their income. But they also asked probably about 100 questions which are about how they use literacy, numeracy and ICT in their lives, both at home and at work. And then the screen booklet is such that only those people who answer 3 of the simple questions are then asked to do the test, if you like, the full, it's not the full test, but they answer another booklet, which is they have to sit down and work their way through by themselves with no support. Again, the thing that I didn't know is that each candidate is randomly given any 2 of 8 assessment blocks, so they get a mixture. So of the 8 or 9 of us, and we had been asked to sit the survey, we could have all answered quite different questions. So what actually that means is it's not the person being assessed, it's actually the item that's being assessed. So the scores that you'll have a look at later are actually about how difficult the task was. So it's an estimate of how many people can actually solve a particular task, which is what's measured. So that's the first part about the survey. So I'm happy for other people to now interrupt and ask some questions about just how the survey is conducted before I get on to showing you some of the items and stuff.
Those who get 3 questions out of the core booklet correct are asked to participate. Isn't this going to skew your results to make it seem that they're more literate because your population's literate to start with?
No, the answer to that is that those people are then scored at being at the level 1, at the lowest level. So it's assumed that if they can't answer 3 out of the 6 level 1 items, that they would be at level 1. Any other questions, folks, or will I keep moving on? Okay, folks, I'll keep going. So in terms of the levels, it's the same sort of methodology that's used in the previous survey, and there's a scale that goes from 0 to 500, but there's the simplest item that I've ever seen is still over 100 points, and I think the highest I've seen on the scoring is 430 or 40 or so. So you never actually get to the extremes. And that score is the point at which a person has an 80% chance of successfully answering that task. So that's the mastery rate that's expected. And again, the things you learn in doing this sort of work is that that's quite a high mastery level. So within the statistics sort of field, educational statistics field, people that argue that one reason why these results seem to be staggeringly high is that the expectation is high. I guess my argument will be, maybe in real life we do want an 80% chance that people are going to get their tasks, whether that be at work or at home, wherever, right. But it's interesting when you compare it with some of the school surveys, like PISA, which is the Program for International Student Assessment for 15-year-olds around the world. I think the mastery level for that is as low as 60%. So I guess it's how you want to set your standards. So you'd need to take that into account. It doesn't make a 20% difference between the results. It's not a direct relationship between the difference of the mastery levels as to how it impacts on the results, but it's certainly a significant thing. And in some of the debates about these surveys, that's one of the arguments that comes up. So our scale is therefore grouped into five levels. Again, I can send that through to people. And level three is considered by the, I guess, people like myself who developed it as the level that we think people need in order to cope with the demands of everyday life and work. And I'll show you some level three items so you can see what that means. Unfortunately, the five levels don't directly correlate to the five levels of the NRS or the new ACSF. Because the NRS-ACSF is an educational assessment tool which takes into account how much support you as a teacher can actually give in solving a problem, whereas this is a test where people, sit down, shut up and try and answer the questions by themselves. So, that obviously makes it more difficult to answer the questions. But there's obviously a relationship because the NRS does take into account the complexity of the task and the text, which is really what the all survey is analysing, is the ability to answer a particular task by themselves. But there's no OWL support. Okay, so I'll show you some items. So these are some of the ones that are in the public arena. So I'm not, these ones are fine, these are in the user guide. So this is a level one literacy item. Analyze a text like this and can say why it's only a level one, a little bit of spatial skills to a certain extent, but really accounting, it didn't matter.